and you want a chance to experience camp, you're welcome to join us. Whether you're Tar Heel alumni or just somebody who's interested in seeing what the camp experience is, but we're doing our best to make this a wonderful day for our kids. And speaking of our youth, our next Youth Sunday is not going to be this coming Sunday. Because of Bit by Bit, we're going to move it to Sunday, August 22nd. But the good news about that is we will actually be able to have an activity after church for the kids again. So we'll get back into doing that. So we'll have an activity and some snacks for the kids. And please don't forget, we're only a couple of weeks away from worship at Shenbrun Village, Sunday, August 15th at 10:30. There will also be an optional covered dish potluck after worship. We realize that people still feel differently about food. So remember, that is not something you have to attend. If you just want to attend worship and then leave afterwards, people have done that for years. You're welcome to do that or stay for a meal and fellowship. Whatever you feel comfortable with, we're happy to support. But please bring something comfy to sit on and bring a dish to pass if you're interested in joining us for the potluck. Also, our camping trip is a week and a half away as well for youth 12 and up. That's taking place August 8th to the 10th. We'll meet at the Dover parking lot at 1 o'clock. If you need transportation, please let me know. But we're excited for this opportunity to get our kids outside and spend some time in God's creation. Trustees will be meeting Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And don't forget, once again, we showed our promotional video with Pastor John. You can actually go to our Mid-States Moravian Facebook page, and you can see two promotional videos that Pastor John has produced for this. But we're excited. We hope you can be there. At this time, that's all I have for announcements. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning.
Good morning.
You may be seated. Our watchword today comes from Psalm 145:13. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. Amen. And to remind you as we get ready to enjoy our first hymn, that we still have optional masks, but we ask that if you are going to sing along with our cantor, that you wear a mask while doing so. Please rise as we join together to pray together the Liturgy of Grace.
We worship you, Lord God, the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. You dwell in the high and holy place, and also with those who are contrite and humble in spirit. Give us grace to bring you the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart, which you, O God, will not despise. Reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. God spoke these words, saying, "You shall have no other gods besides me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor." Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the unrepentant. Incline your ear and hear, for we do not present our supplications before you on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of your great mercies. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Do not cast us away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain in us a willing spirit. Have mercy upon us according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
Thus says the Lord, "I will forgive your iniquity and remember your sin no more. Peace be with you." Please stand.
Thank you.
God, let us join in professing our faith. With the whole of Christendom, we share faith in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe and confess that God has revealed himself once for all in Jesus Christ, that our Lord has redeemed us with the whole of humanity by his death and resurrection, and that there is no salvation apart from him. We believe that Christ is present with us in the Word and the Sacrament, that he directs us through the Spirit and thus forms us into a church. We hear him summoning us to follow him and ask him to use us in his service. Christ joins us together mutually so that knowing ourselves to be members of his body, we become willing to serve each other. In this spirit, we await the appearing of Jesus Christ to go forward to meet our Lord with joy and pray be found ready when he comes. Amen. Please be seated.
We now turn our time and our attention to a time of prayer and a time of reflection.
It's the scripture time.
What's that?
Scriptures.
Oh, and we're going to turn to scripture before that. Forgot I switched that.
The first scripture lesson is from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our second scripture is from John 6, 1 to 15. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for the people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Amen. Thank you, Becky. Now we turn to a time of prayer and reflection, an opportunity to talk with God. In our prayer concerns this week, we ask that you uplift our Bit by Bit Camp Reunion, which is happening Saturday. A lot of people traveling from different states. We have a big crew from Hope, Indiana coming right here. We have a lot of people in our own community who are called to serve and will be giving a lot of their time and gifts to be there. So So we ask that you uplift this time in prayer. And we continue to pray for the health, safe, and peace of our world. We pray for the many who continue to be impacted by COVID-19. We pray especially for those areas of our world that are being impacted heavily as Delta variant hotspots, and we continue to pray for our first responders and medical workers. We also uplift in our prayers today the Festi family. Dave Festi remains in serious and critical condition after a truck accident last week, and we continue to uplift them in prayer as they are good friends of the Martins. Prayers of joy that will be celebrated this week. We uplift one of our own in our congregation, Brock Stafford, and his fiancée Samantha will be getting married next Saturday. So we celebrate with them as they get to enter into life as a married couple, and we pray our joy upon them as well. And then history was made today this morning. I'm sure many of you awoke at 6:58 to see it, but Hunter Armstrong from Dover participated in the Olympics as a swimmer. He just got through the preliminary stage, so you can watch him in the semifinals tonight at 10:30. There are watch parties at Dover High School as well, but it's great to see one of the kids that grew up as a Moravian in our camping system representing the United States across the world. And as far as we know, he's one of the first Moravians to represent in the Olympics, and also one of the first people from Tuscarawas County. So we have a lot of pride in Hunter, and we pray that he does well and continues to represent his country well. Let us take some time to reflect on our prayers of the people, which will be on your screen. For those of you that are online, we encourage you to check out your prayer chain, which was emailed to you, or just take some time of personal prayer as we listen to some music and meditate on the concerns that we uplift to God.
Let us pray.
Gracious and loving God, may we feel your heart and warmth and love in our hearts right now as we gather together to be the body of Christ. And we heard that story from John about the feeding of the 5,000. Let us be the people that gather the fragments, that bring everyone together and live abundantly through you, with you, and for you. Gracious God, we come before you with a lot on our hearts. We pray for those who are sick and hurting, for families grieving. We think especially right now of all the families that have been devastated by accidents this summer. We pray especially for the Festi family and ask that you surround them in prayer and just thy will be done, and help us to support and love and uplift, and know that you, God, are present and active in our world. We also give you thanks for wonderful things happening around our world. Our world is participating in an Olympic Games that a year ago we didn't think would be possible. But here we are, celebrating one of our own, a Meridian Hunter, who is swimming in the Olympics as well. So help us to celebrate joys like that. And the little joys of summer, help us to pay attention to the gifts we receive, to the beautiful summer and sunshine, that each one of us may feel that warmth, as if it is the divine love of God coming down to us, reminding us and uplifting us that we are cared for and loved. In your blessed and gracious name, may we continue to feel your love. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our offering. Once again, we are not passing a plate across the pew, but there is an offering plate in the back for anyone who would like to make a gift. We continue to thank so many of you who continue to give so faithfully online, not just to us, but to other community organizations as well. So let us please rise as we join together to pray together the offertory hymn. Together the prayer of dedication. Holy Spirit, may we praise your name in all circumstances. Help us give from our blessed abundance to serve the needs of our world. Amen. You may be seated. So let us turn our attention to our children's chat today, excuse me. So what I want to talk about today, kids, is an opportunity to talk about how many of us, especially adults, we live our lives from the aspect that we don't have enough, instead of seeing that there is plenty around us to help us achieve our goals, to help us be the people we want to be in life, to help us to live a positive life. And I'm going to actually share for you an example that taught me this lesson the hard way when I was your age. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, there's one thing I wanted in the world more than anything else. And it wasn't a Packers Super Bowl. I already had that when I was 6, so I was lucky. But what I wanted was a PlayStation 2. I know, believe it or not, back in the day, it used to just be PlayStation, and then when there was a second one, the world went crazy. And now you guys have, like, what is it, 5 now? You're on 5? And I wanted this PlayStation 2 that cost $300. Which even now is a lot of money, but even back then when I was a little kid, that was an abundant amount of money. And guess what? My parents were not just going to buy that for me. They were not just going to give it to me. Even for a Christmas gift, it was too much for me to ask. So I had to figure out a way to to come up with the money so that I could have this PlayStation 2 and I could have a happy and abundant life. So I did what any 10 or 11 year old did, is I begged my friends and my family for jobs. And the first thing I asked for was if anybody had any lawns that I could mow. Does anybody here have any lawns that I can mow? Oh, Jacqueline, you got a nice lawn. How much would you pay me, a kind-hearted soul, to mow your lawn this summer?
Don't ask for that. That's the wrong person.
$100? Ooh. But Jacqueline, here's the problem. I need $300. Can you give me some wiggle room?
No.
I mean, I've seen your lawn. That's a pretty big, steep lawn that I have to go up and down.
No, just $100.
Just $100? All right, why don't we talk afterwards? I see some of your employees' children are here, and maybe you'd be influenced by that, not wanting to show all that cash in church. So let's talk after the service. How about that? So I can't get $300 from her. So then I turned to my other favorite pastime, which is walking the dog. Do I have anybody here who would let me walk their dog this summer?
Yes.
Mr. Floyd!
St. Bernard, I'll give you $100.
A St. Bernard, oh my gosh. Are you paying me by the pound there? $100? Floyd, you got all this food on the fly money you're sitting on. Come on, man.
No, this is fun money.
Oh, okay, that's your fun money. You can't wiggle, give me any wiggle worm? You can't give me $300?
Well, no, I guess just $100.
Just $100. Well, I don't have time for that. I got to have $300, so I can't do that while I walk your dog. All right, so I can't mow lawns. I can't walk dogs. But you know what? My other favorite pastime is I love cars. I love a good, classic car. Does anybody in this congregation have a nice car that I could wash all summer? Don Schanhauer, ooh, you've got a nice car that I know you can wash. You got a new convertible. How much could I make washing your car all summer?
$100.
$100? Have you seen that car? You know how much the insurance and the gas cost on this thing? Surely you could spare $300 for me to wash your car all summer. Oh, then you're going to have to go to Speedway, man. Forget it. All right, my last hope, watering plants. That's simple enough. I could water some plants. Does anybody have any plants that I could water this summer? McKenna and Matt, that looks like two negotiable people right there. McKenna, how much would you pay me to water your plants this summer?
About $100.
Have you been listening to these other people? I need $300. Didn't you just get a new job?
Yeah, I haven't started it yet, though.
Maybe you should talk to Matt, because if you split it two ways, it's just $150. What do you think?
Yeah,
he's
about to call
it. Oh, my gosh. You guys are killing me. Well, I'm not going to water your plants. So I've got no money. I've got no jobs. What did I do wrong, kids? Can anybody tell me what I did wrong? Peyton, what did I do wrong? I would have $400. That's a smart man right there. But guess what I spent all summer doing? Complaining that one person wasn't giving me $300. But had I been smart, had I been generous, had I gone up to Jacqueline and said, yeah, I'd love to take your $100, please. I would love to cut your grass. And then McKenna and Matt, I would love to water your plants. Don and Becky, I will wash that convertible. Maybe $125 because it's a nice convertible. And then, Floyd, I will wash that big dog of yours. Or walk it, and I'll wash it. Tell you that. I'll do both. And had I been kind to the people that I was talking to and asking for help, I would have had the money to have my PlayStation. But I spent that entire summer being mad, being angry, being upset because I didn't have $300. But everything I needed was around me. And I'm not just talking about money, too. I'm talking about when we strive to be something, whether we want to be like a basketball player, a baseball player, or a good student. We spend so much time being angry about it instead of actually working at it, to be better at it. And when we invest our time, our money, and our talents into those things, we can do a lot of things. And that's what Jesus teaches us. In our lesson today, we're going to hear what he did with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So I want you to remember that. when you think you don't have enough money to accomplish anything, you don't have enough talent, you don't have enough gifts. You do. It's there. Just learn to live abundantly with what you have. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we thank you for all the laughter and joy in this room. And just remind us to focus on what we can do in this world and not on what we can't. And help each of our kids learn to live abundant lives where they see what they have and not focus on the things they don't. So help each one of us do that. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So we now are going to turn our attention to our message today. So what I'm going to ask you to do is pull out your whiteboards to start as we look at our message today. Yeah, I got my money in my pocket for you. So what I'm going to ask you to do is pull out your whiteboards. And we're talking about abundant living today. So I'm going to ask two sides of the room different questions. So on this side of the room, if you guys were given a 25th hour each day, so if you were given one extra hour each day, how would you spend it? What would you use it to do? Write it on your board. Yep, you can go ahead and give Peyton an answer, Reese. And then this side of the room on your whiteboard, if a kind stranger came up to you, or if you just hit the lottery, you hit one of the scratch-offs at the local gas station, and you won $500,000, how would you spend it? If you were given an extra $500,000, how would you spend it? And you can't give it all to your pastor, so that's look for option two. So take a minute to do that. So this is if you have a 25th hour, what would you do with it each day? This was if you were given $500,000, what would you do with it? Take another 30 seconds. All right, let's see what some of your answers are on this side. What would you do if you had a 25th hour? Play outside, spend it with my family, sleep, help people, mental health day, hour, okay, there we go. Spend more time with family, sleep. I know my retirees are all for sleep back there, right? All right, I like that. I like those answers. If you had $500,000, what would you spend it on? Bank half, give the rest to people in need. Hire a dog walker. There we go. We're thinking smart. Pay off loans, student loans. Amen to that right there. Invest, property, new house, 10% to the church. She's well-trained right there. Toy for diamond, vacation. Some to the church to help others. My family, divide some among my family, save some, pay bills, do something nice. Pay bills, mine and others. Absolutely. So those are some good things. All of you would do something with a little extra time and with a little extra money. And the interesting thing about that exercise is I'm sure all of you, some of you put it on your whiteboard, some of you didn't. None of you looked at that question and said, no, I'm good on the time I have, or I'm good on the money I have. I don't need anything extra. Because every day, it's easy to wake up with a sense of deprivation. We don't have enough sleep. We don't have enough time for the kids to get ready. Work a full day, cook dinner, have a fun family activity, take an hour for self-care, and we definitely don't have enough energy to get up and do it all again. And we definitely don't have enough money to get through this life either. Or at least we don't have enough to cover the mortgage and the daycare. And then when we finally have the money to do that, then it becomes we don't have enough to pay for retirement once the mortgage is paid. And once we finally save for retirement, then it becomes how can I put enough aside to save for a long-term care facility and still leave enough money behind for my kids that they are taken care of. You see, it's almost evolutionary to live our lives from the perspective that we will never have enough. Being satisfied with who we are is a handicap in a free economy. Gratitude can almost be seen as a competitive disadvantage. But guess what? The good news is we are not alone. The disciples were just like us. They saw the world from a place of deprivation as well. And they had the Savior of the world sitting right next to them. And all they could see in that scenario when they saw 5,000 hungry people in front of them was what they didn't have. They didn't have time to cook for 5,000 people. Philip pointed out they certainly didn't have money to buy food for 5,000 people. They all forgot. They were sitting next to a man they had already seen turn water into wine, heal a little boy on his deathbed. They forgot about the power of Jesus. Martin Luther, the famous theologian, said, "They that follow Christ sometimes hunger, but they are never without help. They that follow Christ sometimes hunger, but they are never without help." I love that statement because it reminds us that Jesus does not spoon-feed answers to us in this life. If I was a disciple, I would have been intimidated to answer any of the questions that Jesus asked, because many of them felt like a trap. Very few of the disciples got them right. Yet Jesus, like a caring teacher, always got his students where they needed to be with a little bit of help. And an excellent team, an excellent church, and excellent disciples thrive at using the abundance of gifts they already have in front of them. Joe Judge, who is the current football coach of the New York Giants, he has quite the coaching pedigree. I've shared this before. He worked under legendary coach Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots, who won quite a few Super Bowls, and for Nick Saban at Alabama, who's won quite a few national championships. And somebody asked him about what he learned from those two. And he said they taught him to always see the positive in his team and his players. Judge said, "Don't sit in a meeting and tell me what you don't have in somebody, in a player. Don't tell me they can't do a certain thing, excuse me. Tell me what they can do, and we will figure out as coaches where to put them, because that's our job, how we can use their gifts." Think about if we all had that perspective, looking for ways that we can use the giftedness of the people around us. If teachers came into their classroom with that mindset, if parents came into their home life looking at the gifts of their kids and looking for ways to utilize that, how would that change? And many of you have put kids through high school and college, and you've sat through your team's football playoffs, the band finals, and other important events. And I bet you noticed something in the 4 years they were in school. If they didn't win the state championship, there were probably some teams that always stood out and gave them a pretty good beating every year, that you could count on those teams to be pretty good. And some years those teams had incredible talent, but some years those teams thrived on the culture that they had built. Because the culture that we build with people is just as important as the talent of the people around us. And that's not just sports. That's teams, that's classrooms, that's anyway. That's churches. Because churches that grow focus on that abundant philosophy too. They ask themselves, what are we capable of doing? Then they go out and they do it. You see, no one wants to be a part of a church that spends all their time complaining about the kids that aren't coming, the money that isn't in the offering plate, and the pews that are empty. Let's be one of those churches that equips and celebrates the children that we do have, that are good stewards of the money and gifts that we receive, and we praise, take care, and uplift all the people sitting in the pews next to us. That is abundant living. And I think about that right now in the midst of the pandemic that we are in. And you know, there's a lot of people, for medical reasons and other reasons, that haven't been able to return to worship yet. And it's easy to look out in those pews and wonder where they are. Or you can look out in your pews right now and see a lot of friends and guests that we've picked up over the past 18 months and celebrate them and thank them for being a part of our community. Because we have much to celebrate in that regards. We've had a lot of good friends walk through our doors in these past couple of years. You see, Jesus calls us to invest in the present moment and the present need as well. Giannis from the world champion Milwaukee Bucks, you bet I was going to weave that into my sermon at some point. Giannis from the world champion Milwaukee Bucks had this to say after game 4 of the NBA Finals when it was still 2-2 and people weren't sure if the Bucks were going to take it. He said this, an immigrant who grew up in Greece, an African immigrant who grew up in East from very humble origins. He said, when you focus on your past, that's your ego. When you focus on your future, that's your pride. When you focus on the present, that's humility. When you focus on the present, that's humility. And what amazes me most about this Jesus miracle is the fragments. Jesus stays in the present moments and tells his disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. Now, the standard pastor thing to point out here that they tell us in seminary is to point out that they had leftovers. But I'm not going to talk about that right now. What I am going to point out is that they had 12 baskets of leftovers just sitting on the ground. So that means there are at least a dozen people, if not more, who are stuck in their own little bubble, not noticing that a miracle was taking place in front of them. Imagine if they had smartphones, people. How many of those people would have been distracted by the cat videos and all the other things they would have had in front of them? Thousands might have missed out on the most spectacular moment of their lives. And if it was me and I was one of the lucky ones who recognized that miracle, I would have grabbed one of those loaves of bread and I would have stuck it on my mantle as a collector's item, as something special that I got to be a part of and witness. Proof that I was there. And it is quite possible that no one other than the disciples were able to register the magnitude of the miracle that day. Remember, this is the only Jesus miracle that appears in all four Gospels other than the resurrection. And so that's a signal to us right there, a bat signal. People usually only tell us a story 4 times if they think it is important or they think we are missing the point of the story. In this case, it's probably both. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, do you really see Jesus in this story? Are you one of the handful of people that recognizes Jesus as the true bread of life? Or are you one of the thousands in the crowd that have been given an abundance, but you don't know the source of the gift? You don't know why you have bread sitting right in front of you. So let us be the people that see our Savior in all his compassion and wisdom. For if we see Jesus as the source of our abundance, we no longer have to live our lives from a sense of deprivation. We don't have to spend every day of our lives exhausted by the fact that we don't have enough time or money to be happy with the lives we have, with the lives we are living. Instead, we can look to our Lord and our Savior and see that we have enough. We have enough. Enough time, enough money, enough for us, our families, enough for our neighbors, and enough for this world to live in peace and harmony. We have an abundance. So let us give from that abundance to serve, to give, to live, because we have plenty. And it's up to us to see that. We can't necessarily change the amount of gifts we have, but we can change how we see those gifts. And with those gifts, we have enough. So let us be the people that continue to give courageously, generously, and faithfully. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for all that you give us. We have far more time, money, talents, and gifts than we could ever use in this world. And oftentimes we spend so much of our time focused on what we don't have. Open our hearts this week to really invest in spending our time and effort into what we do have, and help us to see that abundant living can change our world. It can change our culture. Because we, God, know at the end of the day that we have enough, and it is enough for you, and we are so grateful for that. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I ask you to stand as we join together in our final hymn. Chloe, that's one of my favorite hymns. Now let us listen to the words of the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.